As I mentioned yesterday, I'd like to turn our eyes to Mary, who shines forth as the model of virtues, to use the words of the Second Vatican Council. And again, we do this by piously meditating on her and contemplating her in the light of the Word made man. The Church places before us a most excellent tool to piously meditate on her and to contemplate her in the light of the Word made man, and so find really a pattern of holiness in the Blessed Virgin Mary and in her Son, Jesus Christ. And that tool, of course, as I mentioned yesterday, is the Rosary. St. John Paul II, in his apostolic letter on the Rosary, says, "In the spiritual journey of the Rosary, based on the constant contemplation in Mary's company of the face of Christ, this demanding ideal of being conformed to Him is pursued through an association which could be described in terms of friendship." In this regard, Blessed Bartolo Longo has written, "Just as two friends, frequently in each other's company, tend to develop similar habits, so too, by holding familiar converse with Jesus and the Blessed Virgin, by meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary, and by living the same life in Holy Communion, we can become, to the extent of our lowliness, similar to them, and can learn from these supreme models a life of humility, poverty, hiddenness, patience, and perfection." And so the Rosary is a wonderful tool that helps us to meditate upon the virtues of the Immaculate One, and also the source of all virtue, Jesus Christ, God, so that these virtues may be ours. Again, Blessed Bartolo talks about that when we're in the company of a friend, we tend to develop similar habits to them. And a virtue is basically a good habit. And so when we spend that time with the Lord, when we spend that time with Mary, we begin to develop, we receive their habits. And when we talk about the virtues of Mary, they're really manifold. We could spend a lot of time just talking about these different virtues of Mary. And there's actually various lists of these virtues. I just actually read a partial list from St. John Paul II of the virtues of Mary, her humility, poverty, hiddenness, patience, and perfection. The Legion of Mary's great patron, St. Louis de Montfort, offers another list in his True Devotion to Mary. He says that true devotion to Our Lady is holy. That is, it leads us to avoid sin and to imitate the virtues of Mary. Her 10 principal virtues are deep humility, lively faith, blind obedience, unceasing prayer, constant self-denial, surpassing purity, ardent love, heroic patience, angelic kindness, and heavenly wisdom. So a list of virtues from St. Louis de Montfort. And there's still another list I found in what are known as the 10 evangelical virtues of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, from the old rule of the life of the Congregation of the Marian Fathers. They're the ones who promote the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And actually, this list of their virtues is still recited as a chaplet by the Marian Fathers, who actually during the second part of the Hail Mary, they would say, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, most pure, most prudent, most humble, most faithful, most devout, most obedient, most poor, most patient, most merciful, most sorrowful, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen." And while we could explore and reflect upon any of these different lists of virtues, or we could probably even make our own list of virtues too, we can think about them separately, really all these virtues are contained in one way or another within the mysteries of the Rosary. And it's within this context that I wish to consider the virtues of Mary and the virtues of her Son, Jesus Christ. Or rather, I would actually want you to consider the virtues of Mary and of her Son, Jesus Christ. And so for the remainder of this day, after this conference and the other two conferences, and also during that period of time reserved for the Rosary this afternoon, I like to pray the Rosary, but to pray it actually one decade at a time. And so, for instance, after this conference, I like to pray the first joyful mystery. And then the next conference in the afternoon to pray the second mystery during that time that's devoted to the Rosary, just to pray a couple decades during that time. And then during the Holy Hour this evening, to pray the final decade. You could say it's sort of to spread things out. And along with getting some inspiration from St. John Paul II, I was also inspired by, you probably come across this book at one time or another, Father Peyton's Rosary Prayer Book, which actually suggests as a viable option meditating upon the mysteries of the Rosary throughout the day to sort of, again, spread things out a little bit. The author of the book says, "We picture these events or mysteries which occurred in the life of Jesus and spend time placing ourselves in the picture we image. This helps us connect with the action of God in the event and in our lives today. Where did you find Jesus today? Was it in the poor person on the street, an elderly neighbor, a friend, a child, or your husband or wife? Praying this way throughout the day helps us keep God as the center of our lives. It helps prayer become more than a moment or two with God. It becomes a way of life." And this method of spreading the five decades of the Rosary over the whole day proposed by Father Peyton's Rosary Prayer Book, it's not new. St. Louis de Montfort also proposes that if you cannot find the time to say five decades altogether, say a decade here and a decade there. You will thus be able, in spite of your work and the calls upon your time, to complete the whole Rosary before going to bed. And so by spreading out the Rosary over this day, our meditation upon each mystery, you could say, could be savored for a little bit longer than instead of just sort of feeling the rush, oh, I have to get to the next decade, get to the next decade, get to the next decade. I just think sometimes when we pray the Rosary, you have all kinds of different ways of praying the Rosary. I just think of like before Mass sometimes, you go to the parish and you have the person who prays the Rosary in a very sort of deliberate way. "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee," and very, very deliberate. And then you also have the person who sort of goes like these, like the race car driver, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou." And granted, it provides a place for us to truly pray to Mary, to call upon her and to reflect upon her virtues. But what I want to do today is to sort of spread things out a little bit again, to take this time to really consider the mysteries, the meditations, really the virtues contained within the Rosary. That spreading it out provides a means of praying, as Father Peyton's author, as we even find in Scripture, to pray without ceasing, to make it a little bit more digestible as we meditate upon the mysteries of the Rosary, and really to have an opportunity to tap deeper into the spiritual riches of the Rosary by also recalling the scriptural foundation of each mystery. And that's one thing that I want to do as we spread out the decades to take a little bit of time to reflect upon the scriptural foundation. St. John Paul II says that in order to supply a biblical foundation and greater depth to our meditation, it is helpful to follow the announcement of the mystery with the proclamation of a related biblical passage, long or short, depending upon the circumstances. No other words can ever match the efficacy of the inspired word. As we listen, we are certain that this is the word of God, spoken for today and spoken for me. If received in this way, the Word of God can become part of the Rosary's methodology of repetition without giving rise to the ennui derived from the simple recollection of something already well known. It is not a matter of recalling information, but of allowing God to speak. And I really like that idea that so often we announce the mystery and we may get a little bit of a vision or think about it a little bit, but sometimes it becomes so familiar that it just sort of whoop, slips by us, and we next thing we know we're on the next decade without really considering the mystery. But taking time to look at God's Word and actually, again, allowing God to speak to us in His Word makes this mystery, this reflection upon the mystery, more fruitful, more pronounced, more intentional. To allow God to speak to us, it's also important for us to be quiet and to listen. St. John Paul II goes on to say, after the announcement of the mystery and the proclamation of the word, it is fitting to pause and focus one's attention for a suitable period of time on the mystery concerned before moving into the vocal prayer. A discovery of the importance of silence is one of the secrets of practicing contemplation and meditation. In the recitation of the Rosary, it is fitting to pause briefly after listening to the Word of God while the mind focuses on the content of a particular mystery. And so as we pray the five joyful mysteries today, we'll listen to God's Word and then spend a short time in silence, maybe somewhere between 3 to 5 minutes, before moving on to the Our Father and the Hail Mary, even though we continue to reflect upon the mystery during the Our Father and the Hail Mary. Before moving on to the first joyful mystery, I'd like to offer just maybe some thoughts about a couple virtues revealed in the Annunciation. Again, the first joyful mystery is the Annunciation. And actually, of all the virtues found in the Blessed Virgin Mary, two that are revealed at the Annunciation are probably her greatest virtues. If we consider the story of the Annunciation, what attitude do we find in Mary but an attitude of humble obedience? Humble obedience. Actually, the word humble comes from the Latin word humus, which means earth or dirt. Ultimately, true humility involves a recognition that we are dirt. That is, we are dust. And out of the dust we shall return. That is, we're just mere creatures made by God from the stuff of the earth. Humility recognizes that God is God and we are not. And we need Him for everything. We especially need God for salvation. We need God Himself becoming dirt. Humility acknowledges that we belong to God. And Mary's humility prompts her to also recognize this, that she calls herself the handmaid, the servant of the Lord. And one thing about servants is that they're called to be obedient. The word obey comes from the Latin word obedere, which means to give ear to give one's ears. But to give ear to means much more than just to listen. It means to hear and then follow through. Not only to give ear, but to give everything else connected with that ear, including the gift of our will. Ultimately, true obedience is a gift. It's a sacrifice of one of the most precious parts of our humanity, actually the part of us that makes us most like God. And that's our ability to choose, our will, the part of us that can love. And in Mary's case, she hears God's word and then humbly allows God's word to be realized in her own life. That Mary is not forced to submit her will to God's, but she freely allows her will to be conformed to God's. And so as we reflect upon these virtues of humility, of obedience, we come to recognize that humble obedience is hard to live. It's not easy, especially when we live in a society which does not look upon these virtues of humility and obedience as being worthwhile virtues. If we turn on the television, if we watch a movie, if we take a look at the newspaper, even if we just see the people around us, we see attitudes of pride, independence, and sometimes even disobedience. These are held up as being more valuable. These worldly attitudes demonstrate why we must turn our eyes to Mary, who shines forth as the model of virtues, and to also piously meditate on her and contemplate her in the light of the Word made man. This is what St. John Paul II calls the school of Mary. He says that the school of Mary is all the more effective if we consider that she teaches by obtaining for us in abundance the gifts of the Holy Spirit, even as she offers us an incomparable example of her own pilgrimage of faith. As we contemplate each mystery of her son's life, she invites us to do so as she did at the Annunciation, to ask humbly the questions which open us up to the light in order to end with the obedience of faith. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. And so at the Annunciation, she humbly asks the questions which open us up to the light. And in the end, she was able to be obedient in faith. And so, maybe some questions to consider as we come to the school of Mary, the school that we call the Rosary, and as we pray the first joyful mystery. Have I been obedient to God's will for me? Have I been obedient to His commands, especially the command to love God above all things, and to love neighbor as self? Have I been obedient to God's will in other ways, such as being obedient to Christ's body, the church, and the responsibilities expected of belonging to Christ's mystical body? Have I been obedient to my wife or husband, obedient to my parents, obedient to my employer, or to others who have responsibility for me? For myself, I have to ask, have I been obedient to my bishop? Have I tried to remove pride from my life? Could I honestly say that I have the attitude of Mary, an attitude which is able to say, thy will be done, and not my will be done? An attitude that is also the attitude of Jesus, who himself was humble and obedient unto death. One last thing before we let God talk in our prayer. To help us pray the Rosary today, I provided a few little things in the back, just to, again, these are tools and not to the things that sort of straitjacket us into what we have to do, you could say. That first of all, in the back of church, there's a little booklet just with scripture passages, some reflection questions, and even just some virtues to consider for each mystery. Feel free to use this as we pray each decade a day, and also as you pray the rosary on your own. There will be more quiet time throughout this day, and it might be an opportunity to pray in a quiet way the rosary another decade or another five decades on your own. And so you can take this home too to use as you wish. But don't consider the questions provided, the virtues considered, even the scripture passages that I have here as examples to be sort of all exclusive. Rather, see the little booklet as just an inspiration to develop your own questions, your own reflections as you consider the mysteries, reflections to come back to, the virtues contained in each mystery, they're manifold. I list one or two for each mystery, but there's so many more that we can consider. And probably that you might find to be better to consider. I encourage you to scribble in the margins your other thoughts as they come to your heart as they pray. And you can even choose other scripture passages to help you meditate. For instance, with the Annunciation, it might be fruitful not just to consider the Annunciation to Mary, but also the Annunciation to Saint Joseph in the Gospel of Matthew and what this reveals to us or what this contains for us for our spiritual lives. Also, in the back of the chapel, I have a sheet just with a simple way to meditate, offered from Saint Francis de Sales in his Introduction to Devout Life. Using parts of this may help direct your thoughts as you meditate on each mystery, or as you even find some quiet time today. To meditate upon some other scripture passage you see worthwhile. And again, I offer these not to limit you, especially if you're proficient in meditating, if it comes maybe a little bit easier to you, or if you know sort of know what you're doing. But rather, I just offer these to help and direct you if you're sort of wondering, well, what do I do? How do I do this? What do I think about? And so use these as you see fit. And again, if you don't use them, it won't break my heart, you could say. So. And one last thing to mention. I put copies of St. John Paul II's apostolic letter on the Most Holy Rosary. And if you brought spiritual reading with you, stick with that spiritual reading. But if you didn't, it might be something to begin taking a look at, or take it home with you, and maybe in a few months you might pick it up as you go through all your other spiritual reading. But again, I find it to be a very, very beautiful letter. It's actually the letter in which he gives us the luminous mysteries. And also I think it's St. John Paul II's, probably one of his easiest reads. He's not always very easy to read, but I think this is fairly you're able to read it fairly well, so... So again, at this time, I'd like to pray the first decade of the Rosary. And again, we'll have a scripture passage, and we'll also take some quiet time to reflect upon the mystery.